I learned lighting out of wanting to be in entertainment. So I actually, it wasn't even my first choice. My first choice was production design. I wanted to be hair, makeup, wardrobe, set design, set construction, like all that.
Yeah.
And I was offered a job in lighting. And several, I guess, 11 and a half years later, still going strong.
In December, I was the guest of an episode on the Heuristics podcast, hosted by Kobi Ben Melech. Heuristics is about how humans interact with technology. For the full, unedited episode of the Heuristics podcast, click on the link in the description. The next few episodes of The Business of Entertainment will be a mini-series of clips I did from that episode of the Heuristics podcast, but here, I will feature additional commentary both at the beginning and end of each episode. This episode will introduce who I am, how I got into lighting, and how I see light interacting with the physical world around us, be it from the sun or artificial sources. I will occasionally dive into my history in entertainment and lend my opinion about productions and life behind the scenes. Enjoy!
Is that a lunchbox?
So after I published my first episode, so my wife is Dutch. We went to Amsterdam to hang out with her family. We do that every year, more or less. And one guy that works for this company called EVBox, I guess he sort of listened to like 2 minutes of it. And as a gift, it was actually a sweet little gesture, and he gave me that. It's like,
cool.
If you want to stop using your phone so much, how about some promotional material for my company to help you with that challenge?
Wait a minute. Didn't I meet one of your guests that was Dutch?
Yeah. So another Dutch person, her name is Rose, a great friend of my wife, wonderful person. And yeah, actually we call her Tante Rose, which is like Auntie Rose.
Tante Rose?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. How are you, man?
Good. I'm on vacation.
What?
I'm on vacation.
Okay. Am I supposed to be some sort of attraction?
No, you just you give me a reason to come here and get free soda. No, I'm on vacation.
We just
moved apartments, so right. My vacation is, you know, so far we've put together all the furniture. I've painted almost all the walls. We've redone parts of the kitchen. Kitchen's actually designed like a ice cream shop.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
What?
So the light bulb hanging from the ceiling is an upside down ice cream cone.
Okay.
So it's like imagine a big pink cone like this big.
Yeah.
And then ice cream swirl on top of it. So okay. Like that just hanging upside down.
Yeah.
We have what looks like a neon light, but it's like a USB LED light.
Okay.
That's in the shape of an ice cream.
Yeah.
It's got three different neon colors to it. And we're getting these pink ruffle thingies that are going to be like instead of Vedanot, like it will be just like the top Vedanot and they'll be pink. And then we have candy stripe stickers on top of the cabinetry on the top part.
And I'm assuming this is all you're doing.
My wife designs a lot of this. She comes up with ideas, pitches them to me. We talk about practicality and I implement them. Some of the ideas I come up with, some of them she comes up with.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's me implementing them. One of the big projects, though, is our washer and dryer. We had, like, where the washer hookup is.
This building
was built in, like, 1962.
Okay.
So washers and dryers were either non-existent or not a thing at the time. So the doorway where the washer hookup is, it is 10 centimeters thinner than my dryer and washer.
Okay.
I hired an installation guy, and I had measured before I brought him. And what we did was we took the bottom half of the door frame on both sides, cut through it, ripped off the whole door frame on the bottom section on both sides, and we're able to get the washer and dryer in, restack them, and then put the door frame back together.
Wow. That sounds like something I'm not capable of doing.
I think tomorrow what I'm going to do is I need to put new sliders on one of the pieces of furniture we have.
Yeah.
The sliders broke.
What is a slider?
Like the rails for when you pull a drawer.
Okay.
The sliders are the metal parts that the drawer slides on.
Yeah.
The ones that are installed right now are pretty basic. They're not load bearing. Like, they're not meant to hold a ton of weight, but I put like pots and pans in there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I bought some new ones that are meant to hold up to 30 kilos each, and they're quiet clothes and self clothes and quiet clothes. Yeah.
Handyman.
Yeah.
You're useful. So you.
That's my vacation. My vacation is every. Oh, a laundry. Yeah. Painting. Anyways. Yeah.
But here we are. I mean, speaking of being a handyman, we're in the house that Neil built, like this. This place, no?
Yeah, I kind of built it. I mean, the infrastructure was here when I got here.
Yeah.
For your listeners, I work for a company called AVI SPL.
Okay.
They have me here on site at Google.
Yeah.
AVI and SPL had an agreement to build studios at different Google for Startup campuses, and Tel Aviv was one of those campuses.
Mm-hmm.
I got here after this was built.
Yeah.
So what happened was they wanted to know some of the thoughts that I would have about how to improve it.
Yeah.
And now we're sitting in that right now.
And what would you say your specialty is? Is it more lighting? Is it more sound?
Lighting. Yeah. That's what, it wasn't at first though. Like, lighting though has become something that I am extremely knowledgeable about.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, I could be sitting with you. This has happened before. I'll be sitting with someone at a cafe outside, and there might be like a cloud going by or just some interesting shadows being because of a tree. And I'll just focus on those shadows, just like this, just like literally not looking at the person in front of me who's talking to me, not paying attention to them, just like, wow, those are interesting shapes.
Wow. Have you always been like this?
No. Kinda.
Yeah?
I mean, I learned lighting out of wanting to be in entertainment. So it wasn't even my first choice. My first choice was production design. I wanted to be hair, makeup, wardrobe, set design, set construction, like all that.
Yeah.
And I was offered a job in lighting, and I guess 11 and a half years later, still going strong.
What does that mean? I was offered a job in lighting. I have not the first clue what that means.
I was here in Israel on a program with Masa.
Yeah.
And after my program, I was offered a job that would start after my program ended.
Mm-hmm.
And that was with a studio here in Israel. And that studio, at first, it offered me something in set construction department. I was like, yes, that's what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like part-time freelance. And I was like, listen, I really appreciate this opportunity. I can't move to a country where I don't speak the language working part-time as a freelancer.
Yeah.
And the person came back to me and said, well, we have something in lighting if you're still interested. And I was like, well, lighting? Everything's hot, heavy, electricity's dangerous. I don't know anything about lighting. And then I was like, how often does like an executive at a studio just randomly give someone a second chance after you turn them down?
Mm.
And I was like, let's see what this turns into.
Mm-hmm. So what did they have you do?
I was doing lighting for television shows.
Well, but what does that even mean?
Like,
yeah, I'm just imagining someone just flipping a switch on and off.
No, I'll give you an example. Here in the we're recording the video, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so here in the studio, on me, I have two lights at 45 degree angles to be able to light my face correctly. The same with you. You have one there and you have one there. Each seat has two lights converging at a 45 degree angle, coming from up and to the right and to the left of them. And that is to give an evenish amount of lighting to their face so that you people who are viewing on that, I don't know what camera's hot, for the audience to be able to see us correctly. And the whole purpose that of what lighting is for entertainment is to be able to help tell a story with by setting the mood and the tone. Like if let's say, for instance, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy Krueger.
Sure.
Okay, so if that was like a brightly lit environment, like in the park in the middle of the day, it's not as scary as like being chased through a boiler room in the basement of an industrial building where there's like very little light. And if there is, it's just like this hard light that like blinds you a little bit and everything's hot. And then there's mostly shadows everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So what exactly are the things that you try to capture with lighting? Let's say for a TV set, are you trying? Is it mood? Is it? Well, you tell me.
It's really with lighting. I want to be subservient to the story.
Mm.
I want lighting to be an aspect of what helps tell the story, not what is the story. So if the lighting, going back to the example I just used, if the lighting was too overwhelming for the viewer, like in the viewer is like, wow, I'm constantly getting annoyed by these lights in this production, then the lights become the focal point. And if most of the time the light isn't supposed to be a focal point, it's supposed to help tell or just illuminate the area around subjects to be able to give them a sense of purpose and being. It complements what the set design and the set construction looks like. And, with makeup as well and wardrobe, like for wardrobe. Casino. You ever seen the movie Casino?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Do you remember when Sharon Stone comes walking through with that gold dress that's shiny? Okay.
Anyway.
So as she, like the path that she walked, that area was lit with more light so that as Martin Scorsese was actually shooting the scene, the camera was capturing more highlights coming off of that dress. While everyone's in a black and white tuxedo, Sharon Stone's walking around in this extremely reflective gold dress. So when, and at that part of the story, we were talking, they were talking about her and her wanting to be into the life of the protagonist of that story. Wow, so okay. she was the focal point of what we were talking about. And I believe one of De Niro's quotes is like, she loved the life. Like she, and it was in that context of she wanted to be like the center of attention when she was around him, Robert De Niro in the movie Casino.
Yeah.
Because, and that the extra lighting on a reflective dress when you're standing around people who are wearing either black, like just black and white, you stand out way more.
Interesting. So it's conveying that sense of she wants the limelight.
Yeah, it's supposed to convey an intent and motion.
Wow, and do you think that audiences are aware of what's going on, or is this just goes in on our subconscious? And
most of them know, which is cool. Unless you're at like a Pink Floyd concert,
okay.
There's some or like Post Malone. Have you seen Post Malone's new concert?
No,
I go into a bunch of stuff about this. So. You really shouldn't, as the audience member, know that the light is part of the story unless that's like the intent of the show.
Uh-huh.
Whether it's a show or an environment in terms of like you're walking in the city and the way that the street lights are built, how high they are, and what type of reflectors are used on the light to illuminate the street evenly as you walk down it. So the lighting. Unless you know of light or you care, you don't really pay attention.
Mm.
My wife, though, has my wife has really gotten into it. And sometimes we'll be watching something and she'll be like, wow, it's great lighting. And I'll be sitting there going, yes, yes, I love you.
That's so, yeah, honestly, I think this is the first time I've ever considered what lighting does in any serious way.
It affects,
but it's everywhere.
It is. I mean, think about it like this. Before there were like, go back to gas lamps, like a long time ago, or prior to gas lamps, okay, when you know, when it was, the work day was over, there would be no light unless you were holding like a torch. You'd look up and see the solar system, you'd see the Milky Way galaxy. And then it eventually turned into where we would have different like gas lamps or something like that. And people, depending on what cities you lived in and around the world, you would have to actually be legally required, if your house was facing the street, to actually keep your lights on all night so that people passing by would have light into the city.
Mm.
And, you know, things from that filtered into theater, where when you go back to Shakespeare, and plays before there was anything in terms of an outside evening performance. You know, you're talking about hundreds of years ago when everything was done during the day and the actors had to convey with words, it is nighttime in the middle of the,
Mm-hmm.
But then they took, there were people who took gas lamps and put them into theaters so that you could actually have control over these lights. And then if you were to put a reflector behind it, then you're shooting the light in a specific direction.
Mm.
So,
and the modern day equivalent of that would be what, like a spotlight? What?
There's lots of lights. Even these lights. The whole reason that the lights pointing at your face are super bright is because there's a light bulb with a reflector behind it.
Okay.
That's like the most basic form of a light that's used for when you want a light pointed in a direction. But think of house lights that you would just screw in, mm-hmm. like a regular light bulb. Those lights, unless you have a specific covering over them that points the light in the same direction, it'll just kind of broadcast the light everywhere in all directions. So you could put like a frosted globe over the light mm-hmm. to softly illuminate the room. You could put a clear globe so it would just more harshly illuminate the room.
Yeah.
And things like that. Here's the actuality. You know the new bridge, the walking bridge over here? Okay. Have you been on that bridge or drove under the bridge?
I have walked over the bridge during the day.
Have you driven under the bridge at night?
No.
Okay. So, do you live in the north or south? Let me ask you. Do you know the tunnel at Zsolnay Wolfson? When you go, most tunnels are like this. There are lights like these pointed straight down at the driver to illuminate the tunnel.
Mm.
So what I like to do when I go into a tunnel at night, I take the sun visor and I bring it down so that the lights, like how they are right now, are not directly hitting my face, but I can see everything very clearly in front of me without having these bright highlights being distracting. Try it with me right now.
Just okay.
Cover up, but you see, you can still see me.
Yeah.
But are these lights as distracting to you anymore?
No.
So when you're driving at 100 kilometers an hour,
yeah,
and you can take these hot spots out of your eyes, you can see more clearly in front of you.
Why do they put them up there?
Everyone's done it like that for years, decades. But the bridge over here, the walking bridge,
mm-hmm.
underneath, there are LED strips that, you see this handle right here?
Okay.
So if this is the bottom part of the bridge... this part right here, if this is the bottom part of the bridge, this is the top of the bridge, you're walking across it, there are little pieces of metal under the bridge that follow along the whole bridge that have LED strips on them and point up at the metal. That creates a bigger area for the light to then reflect down at the driver.
Mm.
And when you drive under it, it's not as distracting as having big hot spotlights like these ones pointed at your face while you're driving 100 kilometers an hour.
Okay.
I literally noticed that 2 weeks ago. It's like, wait a minute. I wish I could have stopped in traffic. Well, I mean, let me phrase that. There was no traffic because it was at night.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it really caught my attention. And I'm really wondering who else cares about this, but it was absolutely intended to be like that because of the way that the bridge was designed. Had to have been.
Sure. Do you find that when you look around you, just in the way that modern infrastructure is built, that the lighting around us is built in a logical way or not?
Depends. I feel that sometimes people just don't care. I can quickly tell when someone doesn't care. It doesn't matter whether it's industrial or whether... it's for entertainment. I can quickly tell when someone doesn't care.
But most people, I'm assuming, don't care, right?
It's not. I don't know if it's that they don't care. It's more of, I think my words are misused. It's more that they don't really pay attention to it.
Sure.
Some people have I just realized that light shouldn't be pointed at me. There's three at me, and that one should be pointed at the sign over there. Oh, well, sorry. I told you earlier, I was like, I get distracted
you
by
do. You
I,
do.
I really do.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's that some people care. I don't think some people even pay attention to want to care, to like really notice. Like, let's say, you know how some LEDs these days, some will be like more bluish, some will be more orangish.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm one of those people that
so
don't even know how to pay attention to it.
Having light bulbs that are the same color,
yeah,
or color temperature inside of your apartment,
yeah,
helps your eye stay more in a zone of understanding. This is what are the type of wavelengths I'm going to be receiving now, and I don't need to adjust when going from room to room.
Oh wow, okay.
So it helps not only with the overall look, but it also helps the eye. Like, you're not trying to refocus your mind, and your eyes aren't trying to make sense of something if you walk into something that's like an overly blue, bright room versus like a warmer, less lit, comfier, cozier room.
And the extreme version of that would be in like you go into a room, the lights are off, you leave the room, you come into a brightly lit room, and your eyes are all, you know, you close your eyes a little bit and you're blinking because it's, oh my God, there's too much light, right?
It's basically the exact same thing. It's just it's with it's with color, and you're not going to be as like blinded. It's more of that you're, for me at least, my brain's like needs to like refocus on like what does white look like in these environments when you're, one light is blue and another light is orange.
Yeah,
it's like what does white look like? Like this chair right here is white. These chairs look pretty white. Now if you were
to, oh wow,
I wish I had my phone so I could change the color temperatures. So if you were to change it to more of like a bluish light, these wouldn't look so white necessarily under this light because your eyes are adjusted to the color of what these lights are at the moment. These chairs would then start looking more blue.
Okay.
So it's more of, to go back to your original question, I feel that people now are paying more attention in terms of like, for buildings and architecture and things of that nature. That's actually becoming, I think, a very big focal point as to how a building will look at night. Have you seen the new Samsung building?
No.
Oh, yeah. It's over there. It's a nice big tower.
Yeah.
And it's got, on various sides of it, differently shaped physical, like, pillars.
Okay.
As part of the construction. So depending on whether it's sunrise, midday, sunset, or nighttime, that building looks different throughout the whole day.
What?
Yeah.
What does that even mean? I walk into a room and...
Just the building itself, if you are...
You mean from the outside?
From the outside. Okay. From the outside. So if you go to HaShalom...
Yeah.
And you're on the bridge...
Okay.
There's a building that says Samsung, we work in PwC.
Okay.
Past us railing, but on that same side. So you basically get out here, and I believe, you look that way, and you see this nice big tower. And the tower has, so if... I think I tightened this too much.
You're playing with the microphone stand.
I know.
You've made a tower...
So,
out of the microphone.
Yeah,
okay.
Can they see? Yeah, okay, we can see this. Cool. So, there's like slat. This is a very small. Let me see this bed real quick. So, if the slat, that camera is. Yeah, that camera's good. So, the slats that come off of it are only like about that far out, okay, comparatively. It's not big. It's just that the way that the building is designed. So, you'll have some like this. One like and going like 1, 2, 3 through, and then you'll have some that are just totally straight, that, and then some that might be back again like this, going across the rest of it.
Yeah,
up and down the building and on all sides.
And what is the point of having a building that looks different at different points in the day?
For me, it catches my eye. I couldn't tell you what the architect was thinking. I could guess. But
let's guess.
My guess is that it's an architect that cares about being different in a world. Like, if you look at how many new towers are being built today.
Yeah.
I would suspect that they wanted it to not just look a little different, but to be able to transform itself throughout the day.
Whoa.
And that's what it does to me. I'll be eating breakfast. I'll look over, I'll see the building, when I'd be driving up to get here, I could see it. And then at lunch, I'll be eating lunch and I'll look at the building and it'll be different because the sun, as it's coming up and then going over and then coming back down, I'm always on this side of the building. So I only get this perspective of this side of the building and I can always tell what time of day it. Now, I mean, I don't use that as my watch. That'd be really weird. How do you know what time of day is? I have this really big multi-billion dollar tower that I built.
Oh, I thought you were going to say just by looking at the sun, but yeah.
So the sun has different reflective properties when it's not a direct light. So if this is, again, this is the tower and the sun's, before the sun comes over the horizon, the sky will just be like an even golden bath of light. So this reflects what the sky is shooting at it. And then as the sun comes up and starts hitting it with direct rays, you see that the building is lit in a specific way because of the sun. And when angles of the light are hitting it 90 degrees, 45 degrees, zero, I guess it would be 90 degrees, 200, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm getting confused with my angles. So depending on which angle of time of day that the sun is having its rays hit this building, those slats and how they're shaped and how they're physically like part of the building, it changes the way that the building physically looks.
But does that happen to many buildings, all buildings, or just...
No, because most buildings are symmetrical. Look at Azraeli Tower. Look at Electra. It's basically the same building on all four sides all the way up. Electra has three different sections, 1, 2, 3. But Azraeli, it doesn't matter which one of the three, they all look on every side. Well, I guess the circle one is whatever. But it's like it's all the exact same all the way around.
Okay.
You have to build a building intently with this in mind to be able to get this effect.
That's wild. I mean, to such a massive undertaking. And then to add that little twist at the end.
I think so. Although I'm a fanatic about something most people don't even think about.
Right.
I'm not sure when it started, but throughout my day, I really do get distracted by lighting sometimes. I mean, everyone on Earth perceives light and color differently. Some can't perceive it at all, and in turn will have a different perspective on how to interpret the world around them. And I hope this first part of the miniseries encourages you to start taking a more detailed look at the world around you, and how light changes your emotions, stress levels, and even the understanding of your environment. Let me know in the comments below how you perceive some of the world around you. Is it through light? Is it through sound? Also, don't forget to hit the like button. Likeity, likeity, like. In the next episode, I'll discuss my experiences using light to manipulate the emotions of billions of people through various forms of media. Also, we'll touch on some of my credits and logistics of Tentpole Productions. Ciao!